My name's Sean Collier. I'm here with Aaron Kleiber.
Yes, you are.
Where are we? We're at the Pittsburgh Improv.
Yeah, we like this place.
Because, you know, we were sleepy last night at Row House Cinema. Instead, we said, let's go to bed and record tomorrow. What we got this week for you is we got a quick one on Seven Samurai.
One of my favorite movies of all time. Influenced so many films.
And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the great event that Row House had with tea and bento boxes.
So awesome.
And we are not going to say one damn word about politics.
Nope, we're not at all.
This is a politics-free space for you to enjoy this week on You Can't Handle the Truth.
And now, it's You Can't Handle the Truth. Honest reviews of the newest movies. Part of the Epicast Network. Hear more great podcasts at epicast.tv.
It is You Can't Handle the Truth for Friday, November 11th.
Yeah.
Of 2016. And thanks to the Improv for letting us chill.
Yeah, they're always good to us.
Because you're here this weekend.
We talk jokes this week. Yeah, I'm here this weekend. Open it up for Maranzio Vance. I had a show at a comedy club, and it was canceled about a week and a half ago. So that's always fun.
Yeah.
But then my wonderful, wonderful home club and my wonderful GM here, I was like, yo, holler at your boy. Can I get up on stage? And they were like, of course. We need somebody. And I was like, yay. So yeah, I'll be at the Pittsburgh Improv all weekend. And next week, I'll be headlining the Syracuse Funny Bone.
Yes.
If anybody's up there. Thursday and Sunday, I'll be headlining the Syracuse Funny Bone. Friday and Saturday up there, I'm with Colin Quinn, which is really awesome.
Your first time, you were telling me. You have not performed
never
with
met
Colin
Quinn before. I love the Syracuse Funny Bone. And and then the Monday, check this out. The Monday after that, Monday, November 21st, I'm performing at Dangerfields in New York City.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. That'll be a fun show. But then I'm in Erie Thanksgiving weekend. Then I go to Calgary, stuff like that.
I'm going to jump ahead to Thanksgiving weekend because I've got three great shows. And for our Pittsburgh listeners, a lot of people ask me when they can see me. And a lot of times it's, I'm at a fire hall in St. Mary's.
Sure.
And it's out of range for someone wanting to see a show. All Thanksgiving weekend, I'm doing stuff right around here. Wednesday night, Thanksgiving Eve, the 23rd, I will be right here at the Pittsburgh Improv doing a benefit. Aaron, you're on that show as well.
Yeah, Thanksgiving Eve.
That'll be a good one. Friday night, the 25th, I will be part of the Stand Up Get Down at Arcade Comedy Theater.
Yep.
Are you there or are you in Erie?
No, I'm there. I'm there. Yeah, I'm only in Erie on Saturday night.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
Friday the 25th, I'll be part of the 8 p.m. show, Vidiots.
Uh-huh.
Shannon Norman's show. And then the 10 p.m. Stand-up get-down.
Who else is on the get-down? Or do we know?
I do know.
Okay.
But I can't remember.
All right. But it's a great lineup is what it is.
It is a good lineup. There's a lot of people home.
Yes. Yeah. That's Friday the 25th. And the 26th, I'll be at Comtra Theater in Cranberry.
Oh, that's a great theater.
Where I once performed such musicals as The Wizard of Oz and The Rocky Horror Show as a teenager. And now return to do comedy with drinking partners, Ed Bailey, Dave Bracey. Reza Wadney's on that show. Felicia Gillespie's on that show. There's music.
It's a good show.
Beer, because it's drinking partners event, so there's got to be some beer. And I've heard nothing but great things about the shows they're putting on in Cranberry.
And shout out this Saturday. Mm-hmm. What's the date this week?
Saturday the 12th.
Yeah, Saturday the 12th. Is that their 100th anniversary show?
They're having their 100th episode spectacular.
Yeah.
I know they have special guests. Is it Rick Seaback?
Yeah.
Braddock Mayor John Fetterman. And Baron Batch,
artist
and former Steeler.
Yeah.
All on the show. And our friend T-Robe is doing stand-up before the recording. That's going to be a big night.
Yeah, Day and Ed are doing a great job, so
Pittsburgh Playwrights Theater downtown.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So that's going on. We're going to do a quick little retro for you this week.
Yeah, I tell you what, I was really excited. Row House does these amazing events, and this is one of those amazing themed events. And we didn't get to make it last time because they sold out so fast.
Yes.
So this time, as soon as I saw it, I tried to make sure that we could be there, and I was excited because it's one of my favorite. I don't know if I put it in my top 10 list.
I think you did.
I did.
I think it was 9 or 10 all of your favorite films of all
time.
Well,
that's what I'm trying to remember, yeah. Is if that's the list I included it, because I would, I mean, I do include it in my top. If it didn't make the top 10, it's definitely in my top 15 to 20 for sure.
Yeah.
But I think it was about 8 or 9 in my top 10 list. It's also, I think, the only movie in my top favorites list that I haven't seen in the theater. So I think this completes my top 10 movies I've seen in the theater.
Yeah, I definitely can't say that about... I wonder how close I would get, but I don't think I can say that about my top 10 list. That's a topic for another day.
Yeah.
But to tell you what the event was and why you should be going to Row House all the time if you're in the area, or if you're visiting Pittsburgh.
Right.
Like, I'm going to Austin in January. I'm definitely going to the Alamo Draft House.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I wish I had time to do that.
But they did, so it was Seven Samurai with, when you walked in, you got a bento box for dinner. It was from Zen Asian Diner in Lawrenceville. They were really good. Had a couple of sushi rolls, some tempura, rice, edamame. It was excellent.
Yeah,
that
really good.
That came with your ticket. They, by the way, Seven Samurai, a long sit, if you don't know that.
Yeah, it's
about
for
3 hours and 20 minutes. So they did a full half-hour intermission. During the intermission, they did a Japanese tea tasting.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Stephanie Tsong was her name. She told people about a variety of delicious... Because you and I had the same instinct. We were full of soda and Reese's Pieces and thought, I don't know if I want tea right now. Brian Mendelson, who runs Row House, said, no, you got to come in and try it.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievably good. It was some of the best tea
I've
ever
great.
Had. Definitely.
Yeah, it felt good going down and it made me sleepy.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I was about to explain why we were sleepy, but that counts as talking about politics. So
that's true.
It was Wednesday. We went on Wednesday after Election Day, and we were up late watching Return. So we were sleepy for a long movie.
No, I was excited. You've never seen this before.
Never seen it. And now, when did the Magnificent Seven remake come out? 2 months ago?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I had not seen Magnificent Seven either.
Right.
The original Magnificent Seven, which is a remake of Seven Samurai. So I watched that then. So now I've seen the three major versions of this story within 3 months of one another.
Right.
And it's that's when you have three takes on a story that are all good, which is not something that happens that often. I can name any number of stories that have been made into a movie three times.
Right.
But this is a rare case where they're all... You know, Magnificent Seven and the original Seven Samurai are classics, and the remake was pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So, some people didn't like it.
Yeah, I was surprised.
I think a lot of people now are getting more used to the modern action movie, which I think are worse, which is the quick cuts, the dark shadows, where you can't see much action. I like widescreen, long shots where you can see the action.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. It was interesting because there are some scenes, some sequences that, despite a lot of changes, happen in all three movies.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about like the duel scene when they introduce the kind of silent...
Right.
Badass character in all three of these movies.
Yep.
And in Seven Samurai, it's a sword battle, and in both Magnificent Sevens, obviously it's a gunfight.
I love but that moment.
It's basically the
in slow motion. Oh, it's so great.
It's basically the same sequence of events in each of them, and it's really cool to have three very good movies.
Yeah.
Offer takes on those scenes.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can see how they take Seven Samurai and they cut down all the good parts.
Yeah.
The story elements in The Magnificent Seven when they made that in 1960, I believe.
Yeah.
So it was not even, 6 years later.
Right.
That's interesting, isn't it? Well, and this would have to take a real cinephile, but I mean, how many movies were taken from, Europe and especially Japan? I mean, this is 10 years after the bomb.
Yes.
And, I mean, wow.
It's interesting to think that the major setups for 60s and 70s American cinema really were France, Italy, and Japan.
Right.
And two of those are Axis countries that 10 years after World War II were incredibly influential on American cinema, Italy and Japan especially.
Well, and to talk on that, I have heard in Akira Kurosawa, directed by Akira Kurosawa, one of the best filmmakers of all time, which also brought you Star Wars.
Right.
Go watch Hidden Fortress.
And even
Rashomon.
For a long time, I didn't get to it when we did this top 10 favorite movies, but long time I said Ron was in my, it was one of my favorite movies ever. That's great.
But he has said that he made a lot of these period pieces of feudal Japan so that the Japanese people would remember how great they are.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like the character in them and the courage in the people. And that makes sense when you make it 10 years after you've had cities obliterated.
Right.
Wow.
It's interesting to see the authenticity in this movie it feels like it was set in, you know, the 1700s.
Oh yeah.
Or rather it is set. When was it set? When is this movie set?
The late 1700s.
It feels like it was filmed in the late 1700s. That's what I'm saying. It feels so
so
real.
It is raw,
dirty.
I mean, there was no set pieces.
No.
They were in huts.
And
shacks.
A number of times in Seven Samurai a building burns down.
Yeah.
And it feels more convincing than a perfect CGI recreation of a building on fire, because you can hear the embers and you can hear the
audio is fantastic.
Yeah. This is a great recent restoration of it, by the way. These are going around. That's that Janus Films does a lot of restoring of really old, especially Asian and European cinema. But it looked great. And it's a tall order for a lot of people to sit down and watch Seven Samurai because it's 3 hours and 20 minutes long. And the first hour and a half, 2 hours are a little slow.
Yeah. I think the first time I watched it was all the way through, maybe.
Yeah.
No, because the first time I watched it, I was probably 13 or 14. I watched it in pieces.
Yeah.
I think when I was in college, especially when I was in film school, I think that's when I watched it fully.
Yeah.
I should study this. But, I mean, really, it is a thing you kind of watch in, like, parts.
Eah.
You know, you definitely do. Which, by the way, I just thought, you know, they're into Westworld right now on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
A Seven Samurai 10-episode series might not be too bad.
That's how you have to convince people to watch a 3.5-hour movie. Be like,
hey,
yeah, didn't you just binge 6 episodes of
The
Night Before?
Yeah.
It's less amount of time. It's less a time commitment.
Which
than
I did watch that in about 4 days.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's phenomenal.
When Westworld ends, I'll go back and watch
it. Yeah. But yeah, it is long. But you can watch it in pieces for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's remarkably different in terms of the action. Not just in that it's shot in a completely different style.
Yep.
But the violence feels so real in its chaos.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would compare it to, war scenes. Now, it's not a grand, armies.
Yeah.
But when you look at the confusion of war, like where you look in scenes in Platoon or Glory or Braveheart, Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
I think it has those scenes where it's war is so, it's not like aim, fire, like go and stab that one man. It is swords, bullets, mud, blood. Like it is chaos.
Well, just
how they describe it in all Quiet on the Western Front, that book where they just how it's so chaos,
I have to, just because you reminded me, I don't think we've talked about it. I have to give a really cautious, half-assed. Some people, including you, Aaron Kleiber, should see Hacksaw Ridge.
Oh, I want to very badly.
It's,
you did bring that up.
You know, any reason you have for not wanting to see a Mel Gibson movie is fine. If sure. if you go, I'm not seeing a movie by that sure. guy. Perfectly acceptable. I you know, see him because I have to. Even if I had heard that that was good, I probably wouldn't have because I don't, right. you know. And yes, there's some racial stuff in there that I'm a little concerned about because there always is in his movies. But the battle scenes in Hacksaw Ridge are unbelievable. He's obsessed with violence. He has an almost Tarantino level of focus on violence. And here it's in battles. It's in, you know, World War II action, which he hasn't really done before. That's not the violence in Braveheart, the violence in The Passion right. of the Christ or Apocalypto is not like that. And so it feels a little like that opening of Saving Private Ryan, but it's like a horror movie.
Right.
And that's going to be a lot for some people to take, but it's really shocking and you know, the horror of war is as real in Hacksaw Ridge as in just about anything.
Well, the one thing that I know I learned from enjoying Passion of the Christ and also being a Jesus lover, throwing it out there, is that there is some sort of beauty in yeah. the horror and beauty of those situations.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It does kind of juxtapose the good and the evil.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know, I believe he said something like that in an interview before.
Yeah.
Is that horror
yeah.
makes the light look so much brighter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's, you know, I really don't like Passion of the Christ. And it's because I felt like what that is essentially like that's almost like a gore horror movie with a lot of setup.
Right.
And I don't think it was a very good movie. I think that what happens there is it's so violent and so like horror yeah. movie violent
yeah.
that all the church groups, people who have never seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre and have never seen Cannibal Holocaust, go in and
right.
they've never seen anything like that before and they're sickened by it and shocked by it, and then they're walk out going, oh, that was amazing, I've never felt like that before.
Yeah.
You've never felt like that before because you've never seen horror movie violence before.
Right.
I thought Passion of the Christ was a little, you know, manipulative in that way.
Sure.
But this, it's a pretty good movie, and like our knock on Hacksaw Ridge beforehand was that's not much of a story. This guy doesn't want to carry a gun. That, yeah, still, that's like, I hope I'm never in war. And I hope I never fire a gun.
Right.
If you send me to fight Nazis, give me a gun.
I'm going to shoot Nazis.
I'm going to shoot a couple.
That was my thing. It's like,
I'm sorry, it's not Nazis, it's Japanese. This is in Japan.
Oh, okay.
Making it an odd thing to talk about on the Seven Samurai podcast. But
well, anyway.
No, but yeah, and that's, you know, the setup in that story is a little treacly. But the amazing thing about that guy, having seen the movie, and I'm sorry I forget his name now, Desmond Doss was the real soldier's name, was not that he refused to carry a gun, was that he like dragged dozens and dozens of wounded out of enemy territory over a 24-hour period after his company had already retreated.
Right.
Pulling them one by one and lowering them with a makeshift like rope sling down a cliff
yeah.
himself. And it's certainly a story that was worth telling. And
yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Not a bad movie. What? Seven Samurai? Anyway.
Well, let me just brief you on why Seven Samurai is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Is it Toshirô Mifune? Because he's
so great in it.
Un-goddamn believable.
Oh, he's so great.
Yeah.
Well, he's almost like a Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello
yeah.
Type of character.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Really funny physical acting.
Yeah.
His faces are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think it's Takeshi Shimura.
Uh-huh.
He's kind of their leader.
Yeah.
He's their Yul Brynner.
He's the Yul Brynner, Denzel Washington.
And I think he's been spectacular.
Yes.
He does so much acting by doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Very wise leader. I love him too. But Seven Samurai is considered the first modern action movie.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Akira Kurosawa did was it was the first movie that he used multiple cameras to capture the action in real time.
Huh.
Because there were so many actors in it and there was so much action going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they're storming the southern gate,
yeah,
you know, he has a camera behind the cavalry and then in front with the samurai and their village warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's fascinating. That's so,
yeah.
People never did that.
Yeah.
You know? And also the structure of it, if you watch it, you see that the jump from action setup, you know, loving each character for their own little mm-hmm. characteristics, and then little jokes here and there. That is classic.
Yeah.
That's Lethal Weapon.
It's really.
That's Beverly Hills Cop.
And there's real,
you know what I mean?
Humor in there. Yes. It's really funny at times.
Yeah. And so that formula in an action movie, that was the first time that was ever done.
Yeah.
That where you got this slapstick character. There's no slapstick character in, you know, I'm trying to think of old war movies. You know what I mean?
Like Bridge on the River Kwai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There wasn't this guy acting like a mime and a clown.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks like he went to clowning school.
Yeah.
I mean, he's very great, gifted physical actor.
Yeah.
And he's been in quite a few Kurosawa movies, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
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 He was his guy. But really, when you watch it, you don't appreciate that normalcy that you're used to in modern action movies
mm-hmm.
that was in this Japanese movie from 1954.
Right.
It made it commonplace. And you watch every Western after this, they all follow this formula.
Yeah.
Because if you watch the old John Wayne movies or, you know, what's his name? The guy who directed like Stagecoach.
Ford.
Ford.
Yeah.
You watch these movies, it's very somber and serious.
Yeah.
And hero. And it's all about rescuing the woman or getting the gold, you know? And it's like this tough action movie. These guys are like human beings who are helping people. They're not this stoic hero who's a loner.
Right.
That's what was so different about this.
Mm-hmm.
And Westerns really grabbed a hold of that. And spaghetti Westerns blew up because they had these cool action scenes and these likable characters.
Yeah.
And then these funny moments.
It's interesting to see that in Seven Samurai borrows a lot of musical cues from older Westerns.
Yeah.
It borrows a lot of cinematography and shot setups from older Westerns. And then you see Westerns after this completely influenced by Kurosawa.
Right.
It's almost this turning point. Like, he took what had been the Western.
The good stuff. Right.
Put his stamp on it and sent it back out into the world.
Because that, you know, taking those moments, you know, the love story.
Right.
You know, the soundtrack, the shots, the characters, the little humor here and there. He took all those little things and made it into a whole movie. And even though it was 3 hours and 27 minutes, everybody followed suit. Everybody. And that's almost been a good action movie formula for 50 years.
It's, by the way, it was set in 1586. Well, we were
200
years off on that
one. I was trying to remember, because remember when they were talking about his birth certificate?
Yeah.
His family tree scroll. I remember it was like 17. I thought it was 1750. It must have been like 1550.
We're not going to do the full IMDb trivia today, but no. This one I have to, quoting directly, Akira Kurosawa designed a registry of all 101 residents of the village, creating a family tree to help his extras.
He gave every single extra
build their characters and relationships,
a character to background.
Each other. Yes.
Yeah. He's like, this is your sister.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that nuts?
And you see people in crowd scenes, like looking for each other or going to each other,
looking for their families.
It's not 100 individuals like it is in most movies. You know, most action sequences, you get the impression that you're seeing like 700 individuals on their way to lunch,
right?
And then like three couples who get close up shots. This is I can't overstate how real this movie feels.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is a reductive thing to say. That's what movies are supposed to do. But it just is so convincing. People should watch this movie.
people should watch it in pieces.
If you're not a big movie fan, if you see four movies a year, I don't think you listen to this podcast, but if some for some reason you do, you know, maybe you're not going to go back to Seven Samurai. But it's one of those, any serious movie fan who really wants to understand and you know, appreciate something truly timeless, you gotta watch it. Watch Seven Samurai. Before we go, we're not going to take a break, so I'll just remind you to listen to all the other great Epicast Network podcasts.
Yeah, if you're interested at all in creating your own podcast, if you like this podcast or my podcast, Grown Dad Business, that I do with various comedian friends and my friend Jason Clark, if you like these podcasts, Epicast Network has produced our podcast and also Drinking Partners podcast, which was voted the most. It was the favorite podcast in Pittsburgh.
Yes,
by the city paper.
Didn't we have one and two? Wasn't MARTA number two on that list?
I believe so.
Yeah. So two of the three top podcasts in Pittsburgh come out of the Epicast Studios.
I mean, if you are interested in starting a podcast, go to epicastnetwork.com/services. Also, if you need live event audio, live event production, video, photography, a lot of the photography you see is from Buzzy at Epicast. Go check them out, epicastnetwork.com/services.
They'll do a good job for you. And we do a lot of shows and events where it's clear that someone has not considered the audio production or how to get a recording or how to get how to turn the lights on, how to unlock the doors. Epicast can help you run your thing.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, they put on great events all the time.
Huge shows, including they're producing the 100th episode for Drinking Partners this Saturday.
Yeah, they're doing that.
Because Pittsburgh Playwrights.
They'll help you out. And I was very unkind to one of our sponsors on last week's episode, or maybe it was the week before, when I completely blanked on all the details about how you can save money while traveling.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're always the one who reads the thing. And I went to plug him, and I just went, goods and evil.
That's okay.
Yeah. But tell people about that.
Yeah, if you're a comedian or an entertainer, Ignite Hospitality Services can help you out. They barter social media surveys, basically, and reviews to get you cheap hotel rooms. It's amazing. I just stayed in Washington, D.C. for $19 a night, all for filling out a Yelp and a TripAdvisor review.
$19 a night.
For filling out a Yelp and a TripAdvisor review.
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And a review on their Facebook page. So check out Ignite Hospitality Services. You can Google them, Facebook them. You can find them. Adam will help you out at Ignite Hospitality Services.
So before we go, this is the quickest extra butter. Because only I've seen the film. I have to do a mini review of Arrival.
I might go see it this weekend. Hearing you say what you said about it.
I already am afraid I'm building it up too much for you.
It's
because,
okay.
Because
I don't want to know anything about
because
it.
Because I keep comparing it to Interstellar.
Don't. Oh, my God.
And flip side to temper your enthusiasm, Amy Adams breathes real loud for a long time, and I know how you hate breathing.
Only if it's Sandra Bullock.
But this... There were some breaths where I was like, Kleiber's not going to like that breath. But look, it's... You know, I'm really into sci-fi space movies that have, an emotional core.
Sure.
That's why I like Interstellar more than The Martian.
Right.
Right. And this is a first contact movie, which there are plenty of those.
First Contact is a decent movie in itself.
Definitely. But there's a lot of movies about, we just met the aliens.
Right.
This is the only one I've ever seen that is entirely about, we just met the aliens, we've got to figure out how to talk to them.
What?
That's what this movie is about. It's about learning to communicate. And, you know, when you pitch that, it's like, where's the action going to come from? The action comes from, it is so well shot and directed. directed by, and I have to learn how to properly pronounce his name. I think it's Denis Villeneuve, who did Sicario and Prisoners.
Oh, and Sicario is fantastic.
Sicario is so underrated.
Yes.
And shot, the cinematographer is a rising star cinematographer, Bradford Young, who did Selma, who did A Most Violent Year,
yes,
who did Ain't Them Bodies Saints. He's a rising star in the world of cinematography. It's shot and set up like I was thinking of The Shining, which you may remember is my favorite movie ever, where the sound and the way the camera's moving are just so tense and dramatic intrusive.
Sicario was like that.
Yeah.
Amazing shots and sound.
Where the action is how well it's made and how much tension they can wring out of just looking at the ship. I love it.
I can't wait.
Amy Adams is great. Jeremy Renner is good. Forrest Whitaker has a really good supporting role, as does Michael Stuhlbarg. What do I know that guy from that I liked a lot?
Mikael Stuhlbarg.
I know he's in Boardwalk Empire. I didn't watch Boardwalk Empire. What am I thinking of him in?
Boardwalk Empire is very good.
I'm thinking of him maybe in Trumbo, maybe in Steve Jobs, maybe in Blue Jasmine, maybe in Lincoln. I think I'm thinking of Lincoln. He's a character actor.
Yeah.
He's a face. Maybe I'm thinking of Seven Psychopaths. I don't know. But
Arrival's showing at 10 o'clock tonight.
You could be there. I'm gonna and
check if my wife's going to bed
for a rating. That's my first 10 of 2016. You went there with something. You went to 10 for.
I don't remember.
Pop star. Did you give it a 10?
Maybe.
I gave it a 9. Not arguing. But yeah, Arrival is my first 10 of 2016.
That annoys the shit out of me that Popstar disappeared.
Made no money. Gone.
Funny as shit.
I still watch the Bin Laden song video about once a month, and I laugh every time.
Funny as shit.
I'm going to be watching a lot of good stuff because I don't know if I've complained about it yet. The Critics' Choice Awards moved 6 weeks earlier to December 11th. Yeah. Hey, they're coming right up.
Wow.
Which means I have to watch every Oscar movie basically in the next 2 weeks. So
send care packages.
Yeah, I'm going to need...
Red Bull, number two pencils.
Red Bull and Fritos.
The healthiest chip, by the way, Sean.
That you taught me that, and I ignore it because I get either the ranch kind or the barbecue kind, which are no longer healthy.
There's barbecue twists, though.
Oh, yeah.
Holy hell.
Yeah. That'll do it for You Can't Handle the Truth. Oh, by the way, Seven Samurais at 10. That's
pretty absolutely. Easy. Consider Japan's number one film of all time.
And
they got a lot of good movies.
I like when you sing the Magnificent Seven theme. So just take us out with that.
I don't remember it.
Dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun dun. I mean, I get it.
Thanks for listening to You Can't Handle the Truth. Find your hosts on Twitter
at Sean Collier PGH
and at Aaron Kleiber. That's Kleiber, Kleiber. And follow us at Epicast TV. Head to www.epicast.tv for more great podcasts on the Epicast Network. You can email feedback to handlethetruthpodcast@gmail.com. You can handle the truth. Epicast.